This is Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.
I'm Johnny Hart. You're listening to the Market Insights Market Pulse podcast. Let's talk to our guest for the day, Oanda market analyst Kenny Fisher. And in the USA, it is Trader Nick. Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Hi, guys. Good to be with you.
Hey, Kenny. Hey, Johnny.
Nick, let's start with the latest US GDP figures. And we've seen a sharp drop in imports triggered by President Trump's tariff policy, which has certainly helped boost US economic growth between April and June. And this bigger than expected rebound certainly reflects swings in trade as businesses rush to get goods into the US at the beginning of the year ahead of the president's new taxes. So what can we read within these figures, Nick?
Yeah, so with the GDP numbers coming in at 3% compared to the forecast at 2.5%, this was definitely a stronger than anticipated statistic out of the US this morning. Like I said, big uptick, and as you mentioned, largely attributed to the tariff stuff, right? Of course, a lot of pull forward importing, and then it bounced back in that. But regardless, this just shows what has been a theme on this podcast for the last few years, the consistent resiliency of the US economy, which just keeps shining through, which is, it is pretty incredible, everything that we've thrown at it, and it still can put up numbers like 3% GDP statistics. I mean, that's very, very strong. And that's not the only figure that we had. We had the ADP numbers this morning, which came in much better than expected. Last month, that was a big disappointment. This month, we have 104,000 jobs in the private payroll sector compared to the forecast at 77,000. And then yesterday, we had JOLTS job openings. This was a little bit less shiny of an object. We had 7.44 million job openings compared to the forecast 7.51, but not a massive miss on that front either. So overall, we're seeing jobs data hold up pretty strong, GDP growth really strong compared to expectations, which again, as I like to point out in terms of expectations around this Trump tariff stuff, very hard to predict, and economists are having a very difficult time. Clearly, they've been wrong in many ways about how everything would fall in terms of the trade dynamics. But that is, of course, because there's so many twists and turns that have come with it, changing in negotiations and deals being made and deals that kind of fell together better than many people had anticipated. And so, yes, big bounce back in GDP statistics, even more so than what people had been thinking. And with this, the dollar index is on a win streak for the first time in a while. We're talking about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 days in a row of dollar strength coming back into the picture. And it is possible that we are now putting in what might be a longer term bottom for the dollar index. Of course, we'll have to see how inflation falls from here and if the economy can continue to put up strong jobs numbers. But I think the dollar is on the rise because people are seeing, this strong economic data, and the U.S. May not feel the pressure to cut rates as much. If you have strong jobs data, if you have strong GDP statistics, if the economy seems to be functioning pretty well without rate cuts, the Fed may not feel the need or the pinch to cut rates, right? So there is that possibility. And I saw this morning in the Fed Watch tool, there was a slight lowering of the probabilities of a rate cut in September. I think we're down to 60% chance. However, I should add some context to that. We are filming this or recording this podcast episode prior to today's press conference, where we may get some further discussion about interest rates from the Fed chair, Powell. So we'll have to hear about how everything has been going. A couple notes just to keep an eye on will be how he is approached in regards to the ongoing Trump and Powell kind of head-to-head debacle, as well as how the latest figures are potentially positioning the Fed for rate cuts, or if they're feeling no urgency to do so. Of course, there are Fed officials who are more on the favor of rate cuts, and there are also several who are not feeling the rush to cut interest rates. And one thing is very likely for sure, which is Trump is unlikely to get the amount of rate cuts that he has been clamoring for.
Just to add to Nick's analysis, there is the possibility tonight of actually two Fed members voting against rate cuts, which may not be all that significant, but on the other hand, it hasn't happened since, I think, 1993. So as Nick mentioned, there is some momentum to perhaps cutting rates a bit more quickly than Chairman Powell was planning to. And just another quick addition is that imports were down about 30% in the U.S., which helped the GDP. And again, we're seeing the effect of tariffs from the first quarter, which started started in April when Trump started the tariffs. It's helped the U.S. trade balance. And again, we're seeing tariffs have a really significant effect on the U.S. economy and on GDP.
We've had the latest Australian inflation numbers, and they're actually below expectations.
That's correct, Johnny. I think the Reserve Bank of Australia will be quite pleased with inflation from the second quarter. Headline inflation was down to 2.1% from 2.4%, and that's below the estimate of 2.2%. Another encouraging sign is that service inflation, which has been quite sticky, again was down sharply for a second straight month, down to 3.3% from 3.7%. And this is not too far away from the RBA's inflation target of 2 to 3%. So that's certainly an encouraging sign. And the trim mean, which is the central bank's key inflation gauge for core inflation, was also down from 2.9% to 2.7%, which matched the market estimate. And I think the bottom line from these positive inflation numbers is that it virtually cements a rate cut on August 12th from the Reserve Bank. You recall that early in July, the bank shocked the markets by not cutting rates when the markets had virtually expected it was a shoo-in that they would lower rates. And at the time, the RBA said they wanted to see further inflation data. Well, now they have that in front of them and it's positive. So I think it's pretty much a given that we will see a rate cut from the RBA in a few weeks.
Yeah, and Kenny, it's just interesting to note with, you know, what I shared with the dollar sort of breaking out here recently. It's very interesting to see specifically, you know, comparing the Australian dollar versus the US dollar. We're seeing some downside move there. It's actually a big move lower, down 0.8% today. And that's following several days of weakness against the US dollar. So it's kind of interesting. We are seeing, rate cut probabilities get trimmed back a little bit for the U.S., causing some strength there. But for the first time in what seems to be several months, things like the euro and the pound are giving back some ground against the dollar. And to your point, which the RBA has been a little bit more on the hesitant side to be on the dovish, you know, tail of things, and perhaps seeing a little bit of a shift there as well. So very interesting moves happening in the currency market. The predominant dollar weakness trend, I would argue, might be on the cusp of making a little bit of a turn. Of course, not financial advice, but we'll see what happens with the dollar.
And Kenny, in other news, we heard from the central bank of the Bank of Canada, and as expected, they have held rates.
That's correct, Johnny. The decision was expected, and the Bank of Canada did maintain rates at the benchmark rate of 2.75% for a third straight meeting. I found what was interesting was the rate statement was actually quite blunt, where they said that U.S. trade policy remains unpredictable. And I think that explains their wait-and-see approach. They did give a bit of a acknowledgement to the fact that there's a bit less uncertainty because of the recent trade agreements that the states have signed. They didn't mention Japan or the EU, but obviously they were talking about that. But generally, they're still very concerned about trade policy. And I think this is certainly a prudent approach, because we have to keep in mind that Canada and the U.S. have not yet reached a deal. And I don't see any progress towards one as much as, let's say, with China or South Korea, for example. So I think the Bank of Canada is still quite concerned about trade policy, U.S. trade policy, and the continuing trade war between Canada and the U.S. And it's going to be difficult for the Bank of Canada to cut rates until they see some improvement with the trade war with the US.
And finally, Nick, we've got some pretty important earnings in the tech sector from Meta and Microsoft.
Yes, we've got today Microsoft after the bell reporting their earnings, and Meta, of course, a huge, you know, advertising giant just like Google, reporting their earnings after the bell. Reason this is really important to macro situations is that these companies are so big and they're such big indicators of consumer spending, especially Meta and Google, for example. We'll see if Meta follows suit to Google, who had really strong earnings, but specifically to advertising revenues. That's always a good barometer of how much return on investment advertisers are getting, is a really important metric to how the consumer is truly behaving. So we'll get that statistics. And also just until, since we won't be meeting again until Friday, we do also have Apple earnings as well. Huge, huge company, of course, obviously one of the biggest. And so that will be a really important report as well. That's coming out, as I mentioned, Thursday after the closing bell.
Excellent stuff, guys. Thank you very much. We'll speak to you soon.
Thanks, Johnny. Thanks, Nick.
Thanks, guys.
Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.